Let us pray. Lord God, for this glad Easter morning, we give you thanks. And we thank you that you have destroyed death and that you have destroyed darkness and that you have given us life and light. And Lord, grace us in this time, opening our hearts, our minds, our ears, our very lives to your word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, this story I'm getting ready to tell you, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but it was interesting. A co-worker was telling me about his grandson, 7 years old, in the floor during this pandemic, coloring with his mother in a coloring book, and just stopped, and he looked up at his mom, and he said, "Mom, when you were little, did you have to stay indoors for COVID 1 through 18? Children are paying attention. But happy Easter to you. I know you can't respond, or you can respond, but I can't hear you. Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen indeed, yes. Now, for most Easter Sundays of my life, from childhood till today, I have gathered with other Christians early in a cemetery for a sunrise service. Now, today I had to do it just like you're doing right now. I had to watch it on my computer. And while the worship wasn't as wonderful as it is when you're there, you know, it was much warmer. And I was able to drink coffee during the service. It was really nice. But not quite the same. But what in 1990, I arrived in Winston-Salem as a pastor, and I knew that the Moravian Christians had settled that area, and there were a lot of Moravian churches, and I also knew that Easter sunrise services are very, very important to the Moravians. What I didn't know, and no one told me, was how they prepare for those services. Every Moravian church, almost every Moravian church, has its own brass band. And they all load up in trucks and get on flatbeds, and they drive through neighborhoods before the sunrise service playing music to call you to come to the sunrise service. And at 4:30 a.m., my first Easter there, I was roused from my sleep as a truck went by the house and a band was playing Sleepers Awake. If you don't know that, you can look it up online. And I did. And I was confused and not happy. But after I thought about it and reflected on it for a little bit, I thought, how wonderful it is that these people are proclaiming into the darkness that Christ is risen, and come worship. Now, going to a sunrise service is awesome. The one today wasn't so great, but being there, standing in the darkness amidst the graves of saints who have joined the church triumphant, from my youth on, that helped me to come to understand the good news message of Easter. In those few moments before the sun rises and the birds start to sing, it's like they're announcing what's coming. And when the sun breaks the horizon, the minister will proclaim, "Christ is risen." And everyone shouts out, "The Lord is risen indeed." But before anyone has offered a prayer, before anyone has read from Scripture, before anyone has gotten up to preach, the message has been proclaimed already. Light conquers darkness. And standing there among the graves, we realize that life has conquered death. In the first chapter of John, we read these words. Beginning in verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light conquers darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Life conquers death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, I was thinking this week, what an amazing coincidence it is that Easter Sunday, the most holy day in the church calendar, the pinnacle of the church year, should fall during the week that epidemiologists are predicting is the peak of this pandemic. This is one of the darkest times in our history. And yet today, we celebrate light and life. I looked this morning before I came to church. As of this morning, 20,601 Americans have died from the coronavirus. More than 533,000 are known to be infected. Millions are out of work. All 50 states, for the first time, are under a federal disaster declaration. Worldwide, 109,310 people have died as of this morning. 1,783,941 are known to be infected. The economies of nations are teetering on the brink of recession, possibly depression, and some total ruin. It is a dark time. Our gospel text today, which was written almost 2,000 years ago, speaks clearly to our world today in the midst of this pandemic. When our gospel text opens, the women are headed to the tomb of Jesus. And although Matthew doesn't tell us why, we know from the other gospel writers that they are on their way there to anoint the body of Jesus. These women had been at the foot of the cross. They watched Jesus die. And they had been faithful followers. They had invested their lives into this ministry, invested their lives into this Jesus movement. And whatever hopes and dreams they had of how it might turn out had been crushed. They had been crucified with Jesus. And they watched it all. They watched the nails driven into his body. They heard his words. They saw him breathe his last. They witnessed the descent from the cross and they witnessed his burial. It is not too difficult for us to imagine the darkness of their Saturday. The grief, the shock they must have felt, the fear that these same people might be looking for them. And it had all happened so suddenly. Just last Sunday, Jesus was welcomed into the city. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And now, they're on their way to his tomb. This pandemic has brought great fear into the world and into everyone's daily lives. Images of death and grief. And it came so suddenly. Our broken hearts are united with their broken hearts as they journey to the tomb of Jesus. And perhaps more than any other time in our lives, the words of the angel messenger clearly speak to our situation. Do not be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. The resurrection assures us that Jesus is victorious over death. Death has given way to life. Darkness has given way to light. Do not be afraid. The women came to the tomb expecting death, and they were met with the good news of life. And better yet, on their return trip, they met Jesus himself, and he repeated the same message that they had heard from the angel. Do not be afraid. This is the message that hope proclaims in the face of darkness and in the face of death. You must not give in to fear. Fear cripples us. It impacts our thinking. It impacts our decision-making processes. Fear leaves us susceptible to all kinds of negative emotions. And if we are afraid, fear will dictate our actions. Fear tramples hope. But Jesus, the giver of hope, says to us today, do not be afraid. And in those words, we have hope to face the worst that anything this world could produce. And this hope is not the, I hope so. This is the, not hope so, it's hope no. It's based on the promises of God. The faithfulness of God is shown in our gospel text today, in the words of the angel at the tomb. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Amen. Just as he said. You can take that to the bank. Amen. God's word is ironclad. We receive the message of hope today, and we bask in it. It's a message that we long to hear in these dark times. And it's a message the world needs to hear. The whole world needs to hear it today. Now, there's a second part to the message today. In fact, the admonition to not be afraid and to not fear is repeated twice. So is the second part of the message. That's the go and tell part. The women are sent to the disciples who are suffering in the same darkness that they had been suffering in. Sent with the message to bring them into hope. The women were charged to carry the message of hope into a seemingly hopeless situation. They were charged to bring the good news that Jesus is risen from the dead to his disciples. And that message that they were carrying is powerful. That message is transformative. It's the message that changed all of their lives. And it's changed the reality of the world for all time. This morning, you and I stand before the empty tomb of Jesus. Listen. Listen to the angelic message. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. And today we meet the risen Lord Jesus. And as he greets you, listen to the words of greeting. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. In a way, you and I are supposed to be like those Moravian bands calling out into the darkness. Like the women at the tomb, we are sent with that same Easter message. It's that message that has transformed each one of our lives. It's the message that enables us to serve and to live in the midst of darkness and in the midst of death. It's a transformative message that the whole world needs to hear. Life has defeated death. Light has defeated darkness. The message of hope has defeated hopelessness, because our message is Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed.